a lot of times we have a first closing, second closing. This is our first opening. It's hard to make it up here for hugging necks. Glory to God. You know, we call this a conference, but you could just as well call it a reunion. It's a family reunion, you know. Hallelujah. How many of you, this is your very first service ever at the prayer center? Could I see you? Well, good. Lord, look, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, this may come as a shock to you, but I'm not Dave Roberson. I'm Gary Carpenter, and it's my pleasure to serve you at the 8:30 service, and it's my understanding Dave will be doing a second service this morning. Hallelujah. So picking up where we left off last conference. We'll open your Bibles to two places, Matthew 6 and Luke 10. I was praying and asking the Lord about this morning's service, and he said to continue with what we've been doing. And I don't know how many of you have been availing yourselves of the messages as they come online at the various websites. Tim, is it okay if I announce that one? Okay. If you don't know it already, you know, for years and years, Dave Roberson had a website that was basically one page. And you could download the book, and thank God for that. But if you haven't been there recently, you need to go to www.daveroberson.org. Because now the website, the full website is up with all of the MP3 teachings, all of them in MP3 format. If you say, well, that's too complicated, I don't know how to download, well, you can just click the title and it'll play for you, and you can listen that way, you know. And plus now the prophecies are there in written format, in audio format. The many books are there. And more, much, much, much more is already there than I'm telling you, and much more to come. So that website is available to you. And of course then there's www.iktus, we call it iktus.net. And it's sort of a hub that all of the different ministries associated with the prayer center. You can keep up with what's being taught by going there. And then there's mine and Sue's, which is, of course, www.garycarpenter.org. Now, this won't be the only time I do this, but since there's so many here, that this is your first service ever at the prayer center, do you guys like to be blessed? I think you need a blessing. Sue, come here for just a minute, baby. Now, This is my wife, Sue.
You guys.
Don't tell me God's not good.
It's great to see everybody here. It's just wonderful. You just receive everything God's got for you and get more for His plan for your life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next to Jesus, that is the best gift my Father has ever given me right there. Hallelujah. Well, if you haven't found Matthew by now, look on with somebody else. We're going to start. I've been doing the face-to-face documents again. Most of you, I think, are familiar with what those are. Those came about in the year 1998, 10 years ago, as Sue and I were learning here at the prayer center, and we had gotten a hold of Dave's two tapes. How long is it going to be before I quit saying tape? His two message series. It was tapes then, called "Distinguishing God's Voice." How many of you know there's every thought that comes in your head is not God? Have you figured that out yet? You know, and how to distinguish the difference. I mean, and a lot of them are good thoughts, you know. I mean, you know, you have a lot of good ideas. I have a lot of good ideas. Trouble is, they're good ideas. They're just not God ideas. And if you're not careful, you can spend your whole life out doing a lot of good things, you know. But they're just not the things that God really called you to do. And plus, then, there's another voice out there, and that's the voice of the enemy. And see, it took me a while to really understand this part, but the enemy, just like he says, like Jesus taught in Mark 4, his first approach at you is to stop you. Has anyone noticed that? Persecution, affliction, cares of this world. If that doesn't stop him, he starts trying to buy you off with the deceitfulness of riches or the lust of other things. He doesn't really care how he stops you, just so long as he does stop you. But then some people just can't be stopped. I keep seeing faces. It's hard for me to go on. And if he can't stop you, then the other thing that he does, he'll promote you out beyond your maturity level. Yeah. Have you ever read the newspaper? You ever watch, happens all the time. Just let you run out there and let you run wild. I have to be especially careful of that because I don't tend to be a lazy person. I tend to be a workaholic. And I'm the kind that you have to really be careful because I have all these good ideas. Let's go win the world for Jesus. And here we go. And I've got all these good ideas and I'm out there working and working and working. And then, you get out there beyond really where your maturity level is and he'll put a nice little shiny something out there, Oh, grab this and it's the world. And then you fall in front of the whole world. And there's another preacher that he uses to say that the gospel really has no power. So what we're after here, really, we want to be able to discern the difference between our own thoughts, the thoughts of the enemy, and the thoughts of God. If you'd like some expert, I mean a Rembrandt, a Picasso, you need to get Dave's 2-message series, Distinguishing God's Voice. I don't know of any other message, I've never heard anything like it anywhere else on planet Earth, and it is the best. And if you will do what's on that, you will become a lot better at being able to distinguish his voice from the voice of the enemy or the voice of your own thoughts. I was doing that back in 1998, practicing and practicing. I'm not going to try and teach that. You can get those messages. And sure enough, after a while, and when I say a while, that doesn't mean 5 minutes, days, weeks, practicing, I began to hear the Lord, began to hear the Holy Spirit in my language, in English. And I began, as I would hear it, if you've ever prophesied or if you've ever given an interpretation of a tongue, you know how that feels. You're hearing it at the same moment everybody else is hearing it. That's exactly the way it was. And so I grabbed my little voice recorder, and it felt like prophecy, but I was speaking into this recorder what I was hearing. And then later I transcribed these. And that became what I shared 20 of them at the website. Now, there's been many, many, many more of those over the years. Because I shared those first 20, and we've had them at the website for years. People are asking me, well, when is Volume 2 coming out? No, you didn't understand. You're supposed to write Volume 2. So you don't need to keep listening his training to me and Sue. You need to get your own training from the Holy Ghost. And these are out there like a carrot, This is available because, see, one thing good about Sue and I mean, if you hang around us very long, it doesn't take very long either. We're as plain as dirt. I mean, we give great encouragement to people everywhere we go because after they get to know us just a little bit, they go, if God can use them, he can. If that old boy out there can learn to hear God, I can learn to hear God, okay? Because we're just as plain as they come. There's nothing special about us at all, except my wife. Anyway, now be careful. I lose my train of thought. I think too much about her, but anyway. So this is one of those documents, and this one is titled The Highest Order of Reality, and these are at the website in two formats. They're in written form where you can print them out. Now we have them there in audio format. The Highest Order of Reality. I'm going to start reading a little bit, and then I'm going to show you of all the verses that all Christianity knows by heart. You don't really have to look it up, although we're going to look at it, is the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, so forth and so on. And you think, if there's anything that we fully understand, it would be the Lord's Prayer. Isn't that right? Well, it took a while for it to dawn on me. This teaching we're looking at today, he was teaching me about the Lord's Prayer. Something I thought I totally understood. And I'm telling you right now, hardly anybody in the church understands it. And when I say church, I'm including us. And how I know that is because not enough cripples are getting out of the wheelchairs. See, it's one thing to have head knowledge, it's another thing to know. So anyway, here we go. I'm going to read you a couple of paragraphs, and then we're going to look at a couple of scriptures. So this is the Holy Spirit, far as I, you know. Now, you judge it yourself. If you don't believe it is, we're not going to be enemies. But I believe it is, or I wouldn't be up here teaching it. He said to me, "The highest order of reality is when the Spirit of the living God is loosed in the name of Jesus Christ to reorder the material realm according to the original intent and purpose of the will of the Father. True ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ are those whose thinking is elevated above the ways of man. They have entered into that realm of the Spirit to flow with the mind of the Spirit, to reorder all things by the Spirit. Of those who are ministering in the name of Jesus Christ upon the earth, I have few who understands these things, says the Spirit of grace. Understand that no true ministry has been achieved until I am loosed. Either by, when he says I am loosed, that's the Holy Spirit, either by your faith or the faith of the people, to manifest the will of the Father, which is in the mind of Jesus Christ. In the most simple terms, the ministry of Jesus Christ in the flesh was to minister the will of the Father to the people by the Spirit of the living God, who is the hand of the Father outstretched. All of his teaching and all of his preaching was directed toward this end result, that their faith be increased to receive the will of the Father by the moving of the Spirit. This is still the ministry of Jesus Christ through all the ministers in human flesh whom he calls. Teaching alone, which does not direct the people toward faith, that they may receive the will of the Father by the hand of the Spirit in their lives, is void of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Even when teaching those things that are milk, the end result is to eventually point the people to their Father and cause them to understand that it is by the Father's Spirit, through the name of Jesus Christ, that they may receive all that the Father has for them. Teaching that does not direct the people onto that path is teaching which is void of the mind of Christ." I could go on, but that's enough for right now. Okay, now look at Matthew 6. You got to remember that I was raised in a denominational church by people that really love God, but it was a non-spirit-filled church. They would acknowledge that the Holy Spirit exists, but in the same breath almost, they'd tell you tongues is of the devil. So you couldn't be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You couldn't receive the prayer language of edification. You couldn't really just sit there and be taught by the Holy Spirit for hours upon hours. So you were pretty well left to the mercy of your own intellect to be your teacher and upon the intellects of those in the pulpit as they would try and teach you. And I learned many things growing up. I mean, they would pray for the sick. I mean, I would, you know, but it was always prefaced with that phrase, "If it be thy will." And it could be real serious stuff. I remember, they'd pray for somebody who was on terminal cancer. So they'd ask Brother Smith to pray, or Brother Brown, would you lead us in prayer? And usually it's so quiet. Sue visited that same church with me years later. Would you lead us in prayer, Brother Smith, or whichever one it was? And he stood up, but he's praying about like this. "Oh, Heavenly Father, I'm praying." Sue goes, "I can't hear him." I love my wife. "I can't hear him." In other words, how are we going to say amen if I can't hear what he's praying? You know, I don't know what that guy's praying. But typically what they'd pray was something like this: "Oh, Father, if it be thy will, please do whatever and heal brother so-and-so and all of that, you know." And the trouble is they really don't know if it's the will of the Father, because they teach a lot of messages like, well, maybe, you know, this is one of the ways that God humbles you, or God's correcting you, you've got exalted in pride or something, you know, and it wouldn't just be sickness, it might be, oh well, you know, you got a little too greedy, so God come and shut your business down, you know, you're getting too busy to have any time with God, so you had that, he orchestrated that car wreck and put you flat on your back in the hospital, and now you only can look up as you're in the bed, so, you know. I mean, you've heard all those messages, right? Well, I grew up with all of that. See, I grew up with all of that too. So the first part of the Holy Spirit's training is He has to detrain you. He has to detrain you. He has to begin getting all of that junk out of you. See, and in the context, even though it's taking me weeks and weeks to teach this out, I really received all of these face-to-face words, the ones I'm sharing with you, over the space of about a month. And what was going on at the time, we were fledglings in ministry, Sue and I were. We were doing a little bit of traveling, but not much yet. But at that point, our teaching was primarily just that. It was teaching, and very little would happen when we'd pray. Sue's always had a stronger healing anointing than I have. But we wanted to see so much more. We still want to see more. But what he was trying to do at the time was get us to where more of the gifts of the Spirit were operating when we would, that where they could flow through us. He wanted to do so much more when we'd go and travel to these little churches everywhere than what was happening. So he had us in training. And this is one of the lessons he's given us as we're sitting in the classroom of the Holy Spirit. And he's going, you don't even understand what reality is. You don't even know what's real. That's what this lesson's about. See, here in Matthew 6, I'm going to get back with my denominational friends here in just a minute, finish that up. Well, I'm going to finish that up here. See, because they would tell you things like, well, the reason we have to pray that is you just can't ever know what the Father's will is. You know, if it be thy will, well, heal so-and-so of cancer. If it be thy will, this, and if it be thy will, that. And the other thing that they would tell you a lot of times is that, well, and I've seen this to the extreme, you know, you have those that everything's the will of God already. How can you come against that cancer when, you know, God is, you know, He is omnipotent, you know, all powerful. The word they use is usually sovereign. He is sovereign. I was teaching in Korea one time on this subject and how, you know, you could be healed by your faith. I mean, you know, and I gave them the scriptures out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. According to your faith, be it unto you. Man, this pastor that was there, he come up after the service and he was mad at me and he can't speak my language. So Pastor Jinho's having to interpret. This guy is so angry though in Korean. He is and he's close to me and he's so angry the spittle is landing on my shirt. This guy's mad. And I'm wondering, what in the world? Jinho's having to interpret and not happy about it, but the guy was basically saying, how can you teach that you could come against the sovereign God? If He sovereignly decides to put cancer on you, who are you to come against that? And how dare you come over here and teach it? You guys want, how many wants to be in full-time ministry right now? Let me see. A few brave souls. Oh yeah, this guy was mad. You remember what Jesus said? He said, don't worry ahead of time about what you're going to say. I was so impressed with the Holy Ghost. I'm not this smart. I said, sir, I agree with you 100%. And he went, why? You know? And I said, I agree with you. God is totally sovereign. I would never try and change His will. But see, what I'm teaching is that God sovereignly chose. It wasn't my idea. It wasn't my plan. He chose 2,000 years ago to send His only Son, to send His only begotten Son, to bear my sicknesses, carry our diseases, and by His stripes we were healed. Sir, I'm teaching faith in the very sovereign God that you're talking to me about. He sovereignly chose to heal us, and I've just come to tell the people the good news. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Now, I wasn't saying it on the outside, but on the inside, I'm walking away from that going, good job, Holy Ghost. Wow. Whoa. I mean, that is great. You know, gee. I know I'm not that smart. That's good. Yeah. But see, I wasn't always like that. It took the Holy Ghost a while to get me like that. And he said, this is part of the process. Now, Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. Starting in verse 9. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Boy, you got that right. Separate. Holy. There is no other but Him. Hallowed be thy name. Now notice, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now let's just stop right there for now. Something I have learned in Sunday school when I was probably 4 or 5 years old, quoted my whole life, and had no idea what it meant. Really, till the Holy Ghost had to start straightening me out with teachings like this. Because I had been trained by the religionists, well-meaning people, well-meaning, love God, salt of the earth, give you the shirt right off their back now. But they're just sincerely wrong. But they had trained me to believe that pretty much everything that I saw around me was already God's will. And it took the Holy Ghost one day to go, why, if everything that's happening, cancer, murder, rape, thievery, pornography, if all of that is already God's will, then why in the world would Jesus say, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven? And he began to explain to me, there's no lost people in heaven. You do understand that. It's not his will that anybody be lost. I went, oh, I can understand that. He said, you do understand there's nobody with cancer in heaven. And I went, huh. Well, what would his will on earth be then? No cancer here either. I mean, it started making so much. See, it takes religion to make human beings that stupid. A normal person would never believe. See, you'd never convince me about my earthly father. If he had the power, which he doesn't, but if he had the power to put cancer on somebody, and you told me that it was his will to do that, I'm not that sanctified yet, buddy. Okay, roll them up now. Come on. We're going to have a little discussion out in the parking lot. You're not going to talk about my earthly daddy like that. I know him better. But yet, religion will make us believe something like that about our Heavenly Father when it's absolutely not so. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how is it in heaven? There's no cancer there. Yeah, here's another one. There's no poverty there. There's no poverty there. Now, that was a tough one because I was really raised with a stronghold of if you have God, you have to be poor. They used to joke about it in that same denominational church. It was like a big joke. Oh, God, we pray for our pastor. Lord, you keep him humble. We'll keep him poor. I grew up with this mentality of, well, if you really, really have God, if you really love God, you got to be poor. It took a long time for him to get that out of me. Of course, now today there's a pendulum swing to the other side that if you really love God, how many buttons are they putting on those suits now? Every time there's 5, 6, you know, and so for Christ, you know, all of them, it seems to be the more buttons on your suit, the more prosperous you are. I'm not sure about that. I'll tell you a good cure for that, if any. And I don't get any offerings from this place or anything. If you want a good cure for that, I highly recommend you subscribe to Voice of the Martyrs. Voice of the Martyrs. I mean, just one or two issues will slap all that nonsense right out of you. When you see how your brethren around the world, what they're having to go through to proclaim the name of Jesus in Indonesia and other places, China and other places. Now, I thank God for the United States of America. Every time I get back, even from a good trip, I mean, you know, I want to kiss the ground. God bless America. But God raised up this country not so much for us to live in just obscene mansions and all of those types of things. He raised up this country to prosper in order to send his gospel around the world. Somebody's going to get a hold of that revelation, and they're going to get purged enough where the money won't take them to hell, and where God can entrust some people with some money to finance his gospel. Hallelujah. He does intend for this nation to prosper and be blessed, but not to consume it all on the flesh. Hallelujah. That's another message. All right, now let's see another witness. By two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Go over to Luke chapter 10 for just a minute. And this is when Jesus was sending out the 70. I want to see exactly for sure what does it mean when you say, when you pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done just as it on earth, just as it is in heaven. Let's get a second witness now. Okay, let's get a second witness from the lips of Jesus himself. I figure the head of the church ought to know what this is about. So this is, he'd already sent out the 12 in a previous assignment. Now he's sending out 70. He's sending them out. Let's see what he tells them to do. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 1. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. And he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. And therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And let me just pause for a minute. Worldwide, that's true. But see, in America, most cities, you can't drive down a city block without there being maybe three churches. But now, so we've got a lot of laborers, but they're not equipped like these. See, let's look at the real laborers. He's sending out laborers. He's sending them out. So let's compare these laborers with what we see in the vast majority of the churches, maybe two or three on every block. One time I counted in Houston, this was years ago, well, it was about the same time that these came, and we were doing a meeting down there. And I just got interested because it was a few miles from where we were to Pastor LaRue's church. And I counted, between during those few miles, I counted 17 churches. And the Lord asked me a question. Well, since Lynn's here, I'll just go ahead and say it anyway. He said, could you, now Lynn's got a son named Tommy, who's in his 30s now. Is it cerebral palsy or muscular dystrophy? Cerebral palsy, always. Cerebral palsy. And you just love Tommy. We've actually been there in New York, prayed for him. Did, like Dave says, we milked every cell in our being for faith. We'd, Pastor Christian was with us, and Aaron was with us, and we prayed. We did everything. There's been a lot of others pray, and I know Lynn has prayed, her husband has prayed. But Tommy, at this point, you can't get him out of the chair. He's still in the wheelchair. He's been there most of his life. His little old legs are only about this big around. He's never walked. Well, I was counting those 17 churches. I was just curious. 17 churches in a few miles there in Houston. And the Lord asked me, is there one of them where you could take Tommy and get him healed? And I had to say no. And the sad part was and is, it's not going to continue this way. Was and is that we could bring him here to the prayer center, and history up till now would be he wouldn't get healed here either. Now see, the devil wants you to take that knowledge and get so discouraged you give up. I take that knowledge and it makes me mad. It makes me angry. It makes me want to see, Father, thy kingdom come. I know if Jesus could somehow walk into the room there with Tommy, he's going to walk out on his own power, not in a wheelchair. That's the mark that we're pressing for, and that's really why you're at this conference.
That's right.
Every one of us is pressing towards that mark one way or another. Now, we've all got different callings in the body, but we've all got a part to play. But that is the vision that we're after, and nothing less will do. Nothing less will do. I am sick. I am tired. I am full. I am done with religion. You hear me? Form of godliness and denies the power thereof. I've had it a belly full, and I don't want any more of it. Get me on the path that leads to getting the Tommies of the world out of the chair. That's the only thing, and that's the only thing that really is going to save our nation. We're all for the elections. I mean, you know, we want to be things spoken about that and good things this week. And we should do that. There's lots of scripture about blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We need the righteous to be in authority. But see, our brethren in Indonesia and other countries, whether you've got politics that help or not, ultimately we've got a kingdom that will function no matter the political system. And that includes getting them out of the chair. I got to be careful. I start getting all too far off track here. Well, let's define the kingdom again. Let's look at the kingdom again. So here he's about to send, see, and let's look at the kind of laborers that he sends out. These are the kind of laborers we all want to be. So he says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Well, what kind of laborers? We'll see. Pray you, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Never forget, it's his harvest. It's his ministry. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes. And salute no man by the way. Now, you can't make a law out of that. Later on, I could take you to another time when he sent them out, and he says, all right, when I sent you before, did you take any money with you? And they said, no. He said, did you lack anything? No. He said, well, this time when you go, take money with you. You got that? We have a living Lord who speaks from heaven. The Holy Spirit is the agent he has sent so that we be not orphans. And you get your marching orders from the living Lord. Find out what he says for you to do. So he says, verse 5, into whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall return to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you. Here's that verse. Eat such things as are set before you. How many of you have heard about my trips to Korea? I love Jin Ho, and he knows I love the people. And I do enjoy the food most of the time. I really do. Only one time. I mean, here's the verse. What does it say? Eat what is set before you. Some of you are brand new, so let me tell you this little story. One of the first times ever that I actually had what's called a word of knowledge coupled with a word of wisdom, supernaturally, I had been doing a small Sunday night service, and this little lady came up afterwards and asked for prayer. And I'd seen her a couple of times, but I didn't even know her name. I said, well, sure, I'll pray for you. What's the matter? And at that time, we were getting close to Thanksgiving, you know, and she says, well, she said, my parents live in another state, and I hardly ever get to see them. Only about once a year they come in for the holidays. And so they're coming, and I love my parents, and I know they love me, but every time they come, we wind up fighting and arguing, and it's a big... By the time they leave, they're mad, and I'm mad, and I don't want it to be that way. It's that way every year, but... And I try everything not to make it happen, but it happens anyhow. They hate it, and I hate it. Would you pray that we'd have peace when my parents come this time? Well, I'm used to doing a Gary prayer. Do you know what a Gary prayer is? What's the same kind of prayer you pray? Sure, I'll pray for you. Oh, Father, I thank you that when they come this time, Father, there will be peace in the house. You know, shalom to your home. Hallelujah. it's a well-intentioned, good prayer. And it's fine if you don't hear anything from him, what else can you do but pray something like that? But I'm fixing to pray for her, though, and I hear that verse. I hear that verse in my spirit. Eat what is set before you. But I don't tell her that. Because it doesn't seem to have anything to do with what she asked me. You know, it says, oh, Lord, but I've been in training. I've been doing those messages about distinguishing God's voice. And it came from that same place where I hear these things. So I sloughed it off the first time, and I'm fixing to pray again. I want to pray a Gary prayer. And I heard it the second time. So this time, I said, I don't know why, but every time I get ready to pray for you, I hear a verse of Scripture. Do you care if I share with you what it is? She says, well, no, go ahead. I said, well, here's what I hear. I'm about to pray peace for you and your parents, but when I do that, what I hear is this. Eat what is set before you. And I'm thinking, she's going to slap me. She's going to think I'm crazy. She's going to think... Well, boy, I could tell it hit a nerve. I mean, for a moment, there was a flash of anger in her eyes. Then she said, well, wait a minute. You don't know. You don't know, do you? You don't know, do you? And I said, I guess not. What is it? See, well, what you don't know is I'm a vegetarian. And my parents are not. But they always come at Thanksgiving time. And they want to have their traditional the turkey and the dressing and the gravies and the mashed potatoes and all of this stuff that I hit. I'm getting some witnesses over here. All of this. Me too. Glory. Hallelujah. You know, I feel the anointing, my brother. Anyway, that's all. They're always wanting to have all of those things, and I'm a vegetarian, so I'm trying to live with it, but I can't stand it, and I start preaching to them, telling them how bad all that stuff is. You need to be eating carrots. And they're going, it's Thanksgiving. And that's what we always fight about. See, I had no earthly way. I knew I had no earthly way of knowing that. That is called a word of knowledge, where He supernaturally just gives you. It can come by voice, it can come by vision, it can come by dream. That one of the early times. And then comes the word of wisdom. Because I remembered that verse and I said, look, if you want to be a vegetarian, that's up to you. You are asking your prayer. You are wanting the Lord's help to have peace with your parents. His word to His ministers when they're out serving Him. Eat what is set before you. Now you can be a vegetarian every other day of the year. But during those 2 or 3 days that your parents are here, it will not kill you. It will not kill you to bless your parents and be Christ's minister. And during those 2 or 3 days, eat what is set before you. Well, those words came back to haunt me the first time I went to Korea. I've actually gotten to where now I actually have developed a taste for it. And we have one authentic Korean restaurant here in Tulsa. And every now and then I got to go. I got to have Korean. And I've been able to do it, and like I said, only one time in all these years. This will be my. I'm going again a week after the conference. It'll be my fifth trip there. Only one time they set a bowl down in front of me. It wasn't moving. But you know, in Oklahoma, we get those great big earthworms that come up out of the ground. You know, they're really nice, long ones, about 6 to 8 inches long, and they're nice and thick and juicy. This looks like a bowl of those worms. I mean, they're not moving, but it looks just exactly like. And I had to ask Pastor Jinho. I said, Jinho, I'm sorry, I have to ask. It's the only time I did it. Are these worms? He takes a bowl. He goes, no, it's roots. It's good for you. Eat it. Some kind of roots. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Eat what is set before you. Hallelujah. All right, back to the scriptures. But we still want to see what kind of ministers. What does Jesus call? Father, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. And what does He call laborers? This is what we're striving for. So verse 8 again, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Now notice. Heal the sick that are therein. Heal the sick that are therein. Here's just recently someone was. We preach here that it's the Father's will to heal them all. And we'll get people, you know, letters and well, you know, there was times that, you know, Jesus didn't always heal them all. I know that. But what's God's perfect will? What is the instruction here? Heal the sick that are what? The only requirement was that they be there. Well, they got to repent first. Does it say that? Well, Dave talks about going to the children's hospital. And just going through there and healing all of the sick. He says that's possible, and you don't ever see Jesus doing that. Really? Isn't the children's hospital, the one we have locally, isn't it therein in Tulsa? Heal the sick that are therein. The only requirement is that they be therein. That hospital is in Tulsa. We have an assignment through Pastor Dave. The Lord didn't tell me, but He told Pastor Dave, and He told us to help. He says, I want you to go to this city, Tulsa. And I want you to take a group of people with you and go far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. And it's God that's generated those visions about going into the hospitals and healing the sick. And see, the more I get to know my Father, I can't imagine Him doing anything else. It's not His will that one of those children be left in there sick. And I intend to do exactly like Jesus says, go and heal the sick that are therein. Hallelujah. Okay, heal the sick that are in. And then what do you say to them? When they see that happen, what do you say? Oh, well, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. In one of the other accounts of the same thing, it says, tell them that the kingdom of God is at hand. See, right now, see my hand? See my hand? Right now, Mary Corbett is not at hand. She's near, but she's not at hand. Because I can't touch her with my hand. But see this piece of paper right here? It is at hand. Meaning, at any moment, at any time, I can receive it. That's what he's saying. The kingdom of God is near. How near? It's at hand. You can have it right now if you want it. So say that when they see you, come in and heal the sick. The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of the city, of your city, which cleaves on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. We could go on. What does he call demonstrating the kingdom of God? Isn't the kingdom of God where the king has his way? So he says, if you want to demonstrate the kingdom of God, here's how you show them. Go in and heal every sick person that's in the city. And they go, how is this happening? The kingdom of God has come. It is at hand. It is available to you now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, the Holy Spirit, back in 1998, as He's giving me these personal instructions, I'm just sitting in the classroom of the Holy Ghost, and He's teaching me. He says, but in nice words, you notice how polite He was as I was reading that document? In nice words, He was saying, you're a nice fella, Gary. The Father loves you. You don't even know what reality is. And see, the whole human race is like that. You know why faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? Because you'd never learn it any other way. You can't learn it from... You can learn things about God by looking at nature. You really can. You can learn some things. But as far as learning His will, if you look around at this, you do know that this is a fallen world. There were no tornadoes in the garden. You do understand that. There were no hurricanes in the garden. There was no cancer. There was no disease. This world is not as the Father made it. So if you try and determine His will by looking at this fallen world, what are you going to think? The same thing that my denominational brethren taught me at the time. Well, see, it's not always God's will to heal. How do you know that? Well, we prayed and they still died of cancer. Ergo, therefore, it follows. It must not always be His will to heal. See, it never dawned on them. When the 12 prayed, or I guess, no, 11, 10, 8 or 9. However, some of the disciples were up on the mountain with Jesus. However many was down there praying for that epileptic boy. Remember the one where he had fits? And they prayed, and they'd been casting out devils and healing the sick before, but something about this one, and I'm thinking it was probably because the manifestations were so strong. I mean, what you saw, you know, I mean, it threw him in the fire and it threw him in the water. I don't know, for all we know, the guy was foaming at the mouth. Who knows? But there was something about this guy, even though they'd healed the sick and cast out devils before, they couldn't do it. When they prayed, I'm sure they did everything that they'd ever seen Jesus do. They did everything that they'd ever done before. But that time right there when they did it, it didn't happen. And see, if the story ended right there, if that's just the way that the story ended, then you might could come away with that from the Word of God going, well, maybe it's true. Maybe it's not always His will to heal. But then here comes Jesus. Jesus is the will of God in action. See, the Old Testament prophets would say, God is a healer. Jesus would come and say, let me show you God is a healer. If you want to see the Father, look at me. So let's find out the Father's will. Now, even after the preachers pray and they don't get healed, that's what happened. the disciples prayed and the boy didn't get healed. Where I grew up, they said, well, we prayed and it didn't get healed. Therefore, it must be that it's not always God's will to heal. Jesus says, step aside. I've come to show you the Father's will. I've come to demonstrate when His kingdom comes, what happens. And you know what happened? He cured that boy, just cast that devil out, and the boy was healed within that same hour. Isn't that right? So now we know. So the disciples, they turned to Jesus and they're going, basically, well, we prayed. Why didn't it happen when we prayed? And boy, here's the message for the... This is why you came. Here it is. Why didn't it happen when we prayed? We don't like this answer. You know? Well, it's because of your unbelief. It's because of your unbelief. And it is. Let's just call it like it is. How about we not make up any false doctrine anymore? How about we just fess up and go, okay, I agree with you, Jesus. If it's not happening when I pray, it's not because it's not the will of the Father. It's not because I don't know what His will is. It's because of my unbelief. Now, what do I do about that? Is there anything that can be done about that? And He tells them in that next verse. He said, well, this kind. And I grew up hearing that He meant this kind of devil. This kind of unbelief. The subject is their unbelief. This kind. This kind of what? This kind of unbelief. It doesn't come out except by two things. Prayer. Anyone ever go to a good church where you heard any good messages about prayer? Oh yeah, let's see. There's an up-and-coming young minister. What is Dave Roberson? I think I've heard some. I've heard he's got some good messages on this. And excuse me, I can say it. I know I can say it. Come on, prayer and Candy, you tell him what is it?
Fasting.
Oh, fasting. Oh my God, prayer and fasting. Oh, see, that's why our church is so popular. Everybody wants to hear messages about prayer and fasting and about their unbelief. What's wrong with me, Pastor? Your unbelief. I'm going to find me a good church that tells me I'm okay just the way I am. Yeah. Well, you are. He loves you. You make heaven. You won't help get Tommy out of the chair, though. See, I'll tell you another thing. I don't want to be in the... I mean, I would take this... But it's better than nothing. But I don't want to be in the grandstands watching the day that Tommy gets out of the chair. I don't want to be one of those. I mean, that'd be better than nothing. I want to be one of those down there laying hands on him. I want to be one of them. You know, I want to be one of those that goes through the St. Jude's Children's Hospital. I mean, it breaks my heart. Gary, do you send money there? Of course I send money there. It's better. It's what we have now. But is that are we going to just live there? Someday you're going to see it. I will live to see it, I believe, in my lifetime. The head of the church is going to find some laborers that are truly equipped like the first group that are going to go through St. Jude's Hospital. And when they come out, there won't be one single child left in there sick. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. That is the vision. That's what we're contending for. I don't want the Lord to... I mean, I like my attaboys. Like, He loves me. He loves you. He says good. But I don't want Him to leave me the way I am. Amen. Don't be that nice to me, Lord. Please don't be that nice to me. Not while Tommy's in the chair. Yes, sir, I'll say that. Here's what... My friend Con Barishev, and we got to visit a little while. We don't ever really fellowship other than these conferences. We see each other maybe once a year for an hour or two. But see, the same Holy Ghost lives in Canada. Yes, sir. Con, you're going to have to come up and tell that story about coming out of China, same one you told. Can you, sir? Come on. We got to comparing notes. We got to just talk. I said, what have you been preaching? He asked me what I've been preaching. We got to comparing notes. And he'd been telling his people some of the same things I've been saying here at the prayer center. And one of them was, you know, we have that verse all the time that says, prophecy is given for exhortation, edification, and comfort. But we've so distorted the meaning of that that it's like, well, the only thing you'll ever hear is little nicey-nicey, sugar on top, prophecies. You're fine and the future's going to be great. See, and there is that kind of prophecy. But see, we've come to the end of that. Listen, if you start looking at the prophecies that Paul received, he would say, I'm going to Jerusalem. I don't know exactly what's going to happen to me there, but I do know this. Every city where I go, the Holy Spirit prophesies to me and says, jail time and handcuffs await me. Now, most charismatics would not call that edification, exhortation, and comfort. They'd go, I rebuke you. But now, really hearing God, we're coming into a serious time, people. You got to tell them about coming out of China and what you told me about the passports. And
Gary's put me on the spot here. I said to him, I'm just going to come here and sit and listen. Going to learn some more. It's awesome to be able to be moved by the Holy Ghost, amen, and be used by the Lord. I think it's an honor and privilege to be able to stand up and share the truth of the Lord. I was born of Russian parents, but in China. I guess during the revolution, whenever my parents were escaped into China as kids, so they grew up in China for probably 20, 25, 30 years. This is where I was born. My wife and I, that's where we were born. And my dad got converted probably when I was about 6, 7 years of age. And I don't remember my dad being violent, but he was for 7 years persecuting my mom because she became a Christian. And eventually, 7 years later, the Lord dealt with him and he got saved miraculously. And thank God whoever came to preach the gospel, they gave him the complete gospel. Got saved and then filled with the Holy Ghost. And my parents and those people that lived in that part of, in that area, they were just bunch of basically drunks. You know, just really. You know, came to church maybe once or twice a year and that's it. So when they got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, there was no human intervention. They had no teaching, just pure Holy Ghost. And immediately the Holy Spirit started guiding them and talking to them and telling them what they need to do and work on their character and all kinds of stuff. And very shortly, about that time, very shortly, there was a tremendous move in the communist realm. And Russia said to China, give my people back. Because a lot of Russian people moved to China, now they want them back. And of course they started advertising through different media and word of mouth, different churches, you know, come and receive Russian passports and go back to Russia. Everything's going to be okay. And, you know, there's, you know, a lot of people actually left. And I remember a bunch of Christians, I always got together and prayed. And Holy Spirit spoke, my children, do not take the passports. If you will trust me, if you will believe me, I will lead you to the land of milk and honey. You know, that was just a step of faith. I mean, they've never experienced anything like this before. And just to make another story, just to connect something else, my dad also got baptized with the Holy Ghost, and Holy Spirit was working very powerfully in his life. And my dad was a commercial fisherman. And he came to this one place this one year, and he had such a big catch. And he said, Lord, thank you for leading me to this place. I'm going to come here next year. And suddenly, out of his mouth, the Holy Spirit said, son, this is the last time you're here. I'm going to take you far away to a different, you know, different country. You know, so all these kind of things were happening. So where my part comes in, I remember one day, because my parents always prayed, they always trusted the Lord, they read the Word, that's all I ever seen as a child. And one day I woke up about maybe 4 o'clock in the morning, probably at age 8, living in this part of the, in our city. And suddenly I heard my mom, my grandma, and my dad praying. Because every morning when they got up, the first thing they did, they didn't turn the TV on or the radio. to find out what to do. And there was a habit. Lord, what do you want us to do? And I remember I heard that the Lord specifically probably woke me up to build my faith. And I've heard these words. Very direct command to my dad through my grandma. Says, son Vasily, right after breakfast, go to the authorities and get permission and leave immediately, as I will instruct you. And, you know, it sounds so easy living in Canada and the States. You could travel wherever. At that particular time, even if you mentioned the word moving out of that city, you know, anywhere, it's jail time. Because, you know, they closed every entry port or exit. You know, nobody was allowed to go anywhere. Because the enemy, there was a movement for the people to go back to Russia. So they didn't want people to escape. So when my dad, I remember we had breakfast, my dad disappeared. So what actually happened, he went to the authorities, and in that precise time, whoever was in charge there, the Lord just kind of moved him out for about an hour. Then a replacement person that had knew nothing about this situation. My dad comes in and the person stamps his papers and my dad comes home. Next thing you know, we're on our way. And you know, it was so awesome because for the next 3.5 years, the Holy Spirit led us into Shanghai and lived up there and just a final thing to conclude this. And with a large family. And we really had to trust the Lord. And I remember my dad used to go and in the cornfields and away from people and just pray, because we had no money, nobody knew about us, and the only way we survived because some of the people from America, church ladies group, found out about all these people traveling through China, and they actually they worked overtime at their jobs, collected some money, and every month they kept sending money, and that's how we survived. And I remember my grandma was praying, Lord, how are we going to go? We don't have a visa. Nobody knows us. And Holy Spirit spoke very specifically, you will go on transits. She said, what's transit? See, we didn't know any English words at all. And yet the Holy Ghost knows every language. And sure enough, a few months later, they said, well, you got no visas, but we're just going to give you a transit from Shanghai to Hong Kong. And from there, you're going to wait for visas. And that's what happened. We went to Hong Kong for about 5.5 months, and then eventually made contact with Australia, and some people sponsored us, and they gave us visas, and we were able to come to Australia. And, of course, we've been already in Canada. And then to Canada, we've been in Canada for 33 years and 16 years in Australia. So this is an awesome country with flowing in milk and honey. God promised, He fulfilled. And I really believe that's the way Holy Ghost wants to lead us. So precisely. Thank you, Gary.
Hallelujah. Glory. And did you see how the Holy Spirit wove that all together? Even the true function of why this nation is prospering? Why He intends... Did you see that? Those little ladies working the overtime? Were they building bigger mansions? Yeah, they were, just not here. But your motivation was to serve the King. Hallelujah.